Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 16 through verse 18 for our text. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye gather and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Notice she'll have power to judge in that day. Notice this is the time when he says that he shall come to gather up his jewels, to make up his jewels. It's a time of the gathering. And notice who's doing it. God himself will be doing it. And there's a great discernment that comes among the elect at that time. We find in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 32, and of course, Brother Branham said the bride won't go until she knows who she is. So there's got to be a discernment of who you are, in contradistinction to who is not bright. We find in Matthew chapter 12, in reading verse 32 through verse 37, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, that serpent seed, how can you, evil, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the understanding, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. And then we find in John chapter 7, John chapter 7 and verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge right wise judgment, righteous judgment. Judge rightly wise judgment. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly, Lord, come before you this morning, believing that you're here, believing that your word is sharp as any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and body, and knowing that it cuts to the very marrow of the bone. And Father, we know that when your prophet was here, that great discerning eye, as Brother Vail said, it felt like it burnt a hole right through him when he looked into him. Father, we pray that your presence, Lord, would burn a hole into each and every one of us, that you might fill us, Lord, with your presence, with your word, with your very life, Father, with your word. For you are the word. And Lord, we just ask that you would burn out any unbelief that lays within us. Father, I have much in myself, and I just ask that you would just deliver me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Father, and fill me with only that which is thus saith the Lord, that which has been vindicated, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I would like to continue with our study on twins, and I prepared it two different ways this morning. I think I'll take the shorter version because of the time we've already spent talking about our trip. But what I'd like to discuss this morning is the identification. Now, this morning I'd like to examine the identifiable characteristics of twins. And as you well know, there were two sources of life, two seeds, and we are dealing with when considering the subject of twins. We found in our first study of definitions that the main definition of twins is twins are born at the same time and have the same mother. Now, this is essential, for if they are born at a separate time or a different time, but they have the same mother, they might be called siblings. but they would not be called twins. So twins must have the same time of birth and the same mother. Now this morning we shall look at identifying characteristics, or the identifiable characteristics of these biblical twins. For it is necessary that to recognize the source of any species, we must be able to have some characteristics in which are specific to the one being identified. Now there are several characteristics that we shall examine that fit both sides of twins. For we're talking of those children of God and those children of the devil. And I'll read a set of attributes and characteristics which will tell us nothing. It actually tells you, it doesn't identify anything, but of which both sides share in common. Now these attributes and characteristics do not identify the source, but are necessary in understanding why the doctrine of twins is so important to understand. And let me just say this. I believe they both share them because, not that their fathers had these things in common, even though they may have, but because they came from the same mother, the same revival. Because Brother Branham said that, he said, every revival produces twins. So to begin with, the shared attributes are as follows. Okay, they're both born from the same revival, we could even say church. They're both religious. So if you've been born again, that doesn't mean anything, because remember, Peter said, being born again of corruptible seed or of incorruptible seed. See? It's how you're born again. If you're religious, that doesn't tell you which of the twins you are. They both eat from the same table of the Lord. Now, this is in the book of Jude. We find this also in the book of Peter. It says that when they sit with you, and he's speaking of those that were ordained to condemnation, and he says, when they sit with you at your love feast. Now, I don't have time to actually get into read all the scriptures this morning, so if you forgive me, I'll just mention the scripture and you can go and read it for yourself. They both believe in God. I remember years ago, some gal who was raised in this message, she was dating a boy outside of the message, and she said, well, he does believe in God. Well, that just tells you he's serpent seed. It doesn't tell you anything. It could be serpent seed, maybe he's not serpent seed. It doesn't tell you anything. You see? They both quote the Bible, the Word of God. They both quote the Word. They talk the Word. They both quote the message. They talk the message. They both offer sacrifices to God. And they're sincere. But he's so sincere. That just tells me he could be circumcised. They both worship God. Now these are all, I've got quotes, literally dozens of quotes for each of these from Brother Branham. They both praise God. Remember Brother Branham's vision? The wheat and the tares, they both, the rain came down. What is rain? Doctrine. They both lifted up their hands and thanked God for it. They praised God for it. You see, the just and the unjust, watered by the same water. They both do works to please God. Cain didn't build his ark. Cain didn't build his temple. His tabernacle or his little altar, thinking that, well, you know, I can maybe get by with it. Cain's motive was right. He wanted to worship God. He wanted to offer to God. He gave him his best. We find people in the message can't even give God their best.
They say, well, you know, this is the way I am. Take me or leave me. One day, the great magnet's going to go. And if you're not magnetized to it, he'll leave you. Mm-hmm. Look, God has got... Look, we are soft. God is a judge. He's a judge. Mm-hmm. He's not going to take all this riffraff that claims to be Christian or claims to be in the message that have not surrendered themselves to God. Now, I'm talking pretty tough. But I've been around the block, brother, sister, and I know what I'm talking about. And you know that you know what I'm talking about is right. Just because people say I believe the message, that doesn't mean that. Look, that means that they're one of two. They're either serpent seed or they're not. They're either serpent seed or child of God. That doesn't tell you anything. All these attributes doesn't tell you a thing about what source they have. Both receive a mark. What does the mark signify? We call it the mark of distinction. Both receive a mark in forehead, in hand, in their mind, and in their actions. They both receive a mark. And they both bear fruit. Now, how do you tell them apart? They both pay tithes. So if you don't even do that, where are you at? Think about it. They both come to service on Sundays. And they worship God. They praise God. They're religious. They believe God. Believe in God. They quote the word. They talk the word. They sacrifice. Make sacrifices to come. To worship. To praise. They do things to please God. And yet this doesn't tell you where they had their source. It's a God seed or serpent seed. So if this is all you've got to stand on, brother, sister, you're lost, confused, in a maze. Now, am I being too tough, or can I get tougher? It comes back to me too. Okay. What then identifies the difference? Anybody tell me? Whose life? You can't just say life because, Brother Bassett, look at that kind old priest. Judas was a wonderful, wonderful man. Esau was a better man. Had a better life than Jacob had. So when we say life, we've got to be more specific. Word life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. So it boils down to one thing. Word. Word. Now, what word? Vindicated word. Revealed word. Now, notice. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Verse 37 or verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Jesus said, look, there's two fathers. Satan's kids and God's kids. We'll say seed. God's seed. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Genesis 1 and 11. Every seed after its kind.
after its nature.
We'll just put that up here. Genesis 1 and 11.
Every seed, after its nature. So we're going to look at the nature that defines them. So far, we've seen all this nature. That doesn't tell you yet. But there's certain identifiable characteristics that tells you the difference. Jesus says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, out from God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." And then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We're not circumcised. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." It wasn't my will, it wasn't my choosing. God sent me. And he says, "You are of your father." Or excuse me, verse 43. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear, you cannot understand my word." Here's the first identifier. Cannot understand the word. It's John 8. Now, where do we find it speaks about the elect that can identify and understand the word? Anybody tell me? Come on. Matthew 13. Hold your finger in John here. Matthew 13. And let's read verse 10. "And the disciples came and spake unto him, and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So, we have here then, Matthew 13. Understand the revealed word. Big difference. Now, let's read on, John chapter 8. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot understand my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own." It's his own word. "For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of unbelief? And I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Because he that is of God heareth God's words. You hear them not, you understand them not, because you are not of God." Pretty strong. That's the truth. Now, let's just look at this word. Because Jesus said, "I see what my Father does, and that I do. That the Son doeth likewise." Now, who is the Father? Okay, who's God? Word. Jesus said, "I see my Father, I see the Word, and I know what the Word says." Now, what is a word? It's an expression. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Look, brother, sister, all we have to hold on to is vindication. A vindicated word. And we know God in no other way than through His Word. For He is the Word. Now, John 1:1 says the Word was God. And yet the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In 1 John 1, he says, that which we've seen, which we've heard, which we've handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and declare to you that life, that you might also have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what does word express? What are words?
Thoughts.
We in the English language, we break them up into what characters? Your words are broken up into nouns, verbs. A noun speaks of people, place, or thing. A verb is an action. An adverb is what? It describes the action. An adjective is what? It describes a noun. It's a description. So, word then is used to describe phenomena. Then actually, brother, sister, as Brother Brown said, if there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. You couldn't have a word unless you had something that word was pertaining to. Is that right? Then word is a reality. Word is a reality. It describes, it expresses a reality. Now, phenomena by itself doesn't express anything. It does not identify. The identification must come only through words. Phenomena can be viewed by millions, and each with his own explanation of what that phenomena is. That's right. Each with their own explanation of that phenomena. So phenomena in itself doesn't identify. It has got to be words. It is the word which is hated. It is the word which is loved. It is the word which is received. It is the word which is rejected. In Hebrews 6, it says the reason why they can't repent is because they have no illumination of the word. Repentance means to change your thinking, but if they have no understanding of it, and if they can never come to an understanding of it, because they cannot understand, they can never repent. What are they going to change from? From one of their own thoughts to one of their own thoughts? You see, the only way they can come to a full repentance is to come to a full understanding. And if they don't have an understanding, can't have an understanding, how are they going to repent? Jesus said there's no place in your heart for the word. That's the second. They cannot understand the word because there's no place for the word. There's no place. Now let's contrast that to Acts chapter 13, verse 48. It says, all who believed, or all who were ordained to life, believed the word. So, there's a place for the word. Acts 13:48. Also, 1 John 3 and verse 9. He that is born of God cannot sin, cannot disbelieve. Why? Because His, God's seed, remaineth in him. 1 John 3, verse 9. God's seed remains. And who is God? Again, He's who? The Word. So if God is the Word, then won't His children be the Word? If God is the Logos, then wasn't the Son that came out of God had to be Logos? You have to be Logos, right? So how can you not believe the Word if you are the Word? Good. We're coming along. Good. Now, so we look at this phenomena. It can be viewed by millions, even billions, and each has their own opinion. Now, a word is a unit, either oral or written language. Each word differs by characteristics. Without it, our means of communication would be nothing. Without word or language, the human race would simply perish. Words allow comprehension. It allows identification. It allows us to understand vicariously. Now, let me explain something to you. I have three objects on my bottom on the shelf right here. I'm going to describe one of these three, and I want you to understand how words will paint a picture for you. What I'm looking at is a box. It's about 4 inches across, 5 inches high, square. It's a Kleenex box. It says K-L-E-E-N-E-X right on it. It has pictures of flowers. It's white. It's got some green leaves in the pictures of flowers. It's got Kleenex hanging out the top. Now, is this what I just described? Huh? No? Is this what I just described? No? Is this what I just described? Now, how do you know? Words. You see, the words that I gave you described what was hidden from your view. Now, God is invisible, brother, sister. No man can see Him. But the Son hath declared Him. Hath openly revealed Him to us. How? By words. Let's go to 1 John 1 again. Now, why is it so important for you to be able to understand the Word? How are you going to have a relationship with your Father if you don't? Right? That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. How does our fellowship come? How? Word. Exactly. If it wasn't for the Word, you wouldn't be together. If God just came down in a great pillar of fire and showed Himself to you, Joe, and then God came down and great pillar of fire showed Him to you, Dwayne, do you think you'd ever be together today? You'd have your little phenomena, you'd have your phenomena. But what brought you together? One thing, the Word. What is bringing the bride into the presence of God? One thing, the Word. What will bring about a change of your body? One thing, the Word. In that hour, we see Him face to face, and He is who? The Word. Don't ever look to God at being anything outside the Word, because you can't. He's invisible. I could describe nature. You say, well, God created nature. God's in nature. Okay? Describe God to me. Joe, look out the window there. You see that tree out there? Describe God now. He couldn't do it. The children of Israel, it says, Moses knew the way of God, but the children of Israel only saw the acts of God. Psalm 102, I think, verse 4. Somewhere in there. They saw the acts. They saw the phenomena, the pillar of fire. But Moses heard a voice. And what is a voice? It's words. Now see, the sound that you hear, it sounds. The text on the page, that's a bunch of dots. Just little dots put together in a character, to form a character. The text is not the word. The voice is not the word. The reality is the word, and the voice expressed the reality. The text expressed the reality. You see, God is the word. Now, so, if He's truly our Father, God's your Father. The only way you'll ever have a relationship with Him is through Word, because He is the Word. God is not words. He's the Word. He's the reality. Because Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." There is a spirit behind each and every word. You close your eyes. Let's try it. Close your eyes. I'll say what Brother Bell said last night. The word barn. Okay, now open your eyes. What is a barn? What is a barn? Ron. Store. Okay, what houses? What's usually, Gary, you got one. What do you usually house in a barn? And what else? And animals. What's the difference between a house and a barn? Now I said house, and all of a sudden you got a different thought in your mind, don't you? I mean, some people's house might look like a barn on the inside, but, you know, but a house houses what? People. A barn houses animals. Now see, your barn could be, if I want to use more adjectives, more description, I could say tin or wood, painted white, painted red. I could give measurements. You see, words are measurement. Words are measurement. They give you a definitive. They give you parameter. So just by saying barn or house, you've got two different total concepts in your mind. Then as you give me descriptions of the barn you see in your mind, He can see what's in your mind. Right now, I could ask Ron and I could ask Gary to describe a barn. And what would come forth from Ron, what would come forth from Gary, would be two different things. Maybe there'd be some similarities. But when you get to the real definitive, the picture you got in your mind is what you would describe. And that's based on what? Phenomena. Based on what you see. A reality. Now, if there's people in here that have never seen a barn, and I say the word barn, you'd say, "What's that?" But because of a reality, and I say the word barn, it brings it together. It ties it together. It's spirit. Just as your spirit in you ties together the soul and the body. That's what your spirit does. Your soul is only choice. You either accept or reject. Your body is the five senses to contact the world. But your soul connects, or your spirit connects your soul to your body, making it a living unit. You see? And so the Word of God, God is a reality. And through His Word, He identifies Himself. And through Word, by their fruits you'll know them. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Isn't that what we already read? Didn't Jesus say, by their fruits? And Brother Branham said from Paul's another one's at the end time.
He said the fruit is what? The teaching. The teaching of the season. To have the correct teaching. Understanding of the teaching. They have the wrong understanding of the teaching. And if they have the wrong understanding of the teaching, they have the wrong seed, right? If they have the wrong understanding, and out of the abundance of the heart, the understanding, the mouth speaketh. How can you identify? Words. You see, this, Jesus said, judge not according to appearance. This is the appearance. They worship. They praise. They do the right things. They come to church. They dress modest. That's the outward. But this is the inward. The spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elect. If it were possible. But brother, sister, if you are the Word, you are the seed of God. And you can't help but to know. And these can't help. They can't help to know. They don't know. You see this separating taking place. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Very interesting scripture. Another attribute. John chapter 3, let's go with verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now, can anybody tell me what that word condemnation it means? It's a Greek word crisis. This is the crisis. And you know what the word means? This is the separation. Here's our separating line. And this is the separation. That light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love the wrong understanding. Darkness. And they hate the right understanding. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they had their source in God. Love. Right understanding. Comes to the light. Will not come to the light. And this is the condemnation. This is the separation. This is what separates. They come to the light or they will not come to the light. John chapter 18, verse 37. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The last verse, or last part of the verse. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. 1 John chapter. Let's go to, excuse me, before we go to 1 John, let's go to John chapter 6.
John chapter 6, verse 54 through 57. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And who is he? The Word. Was that the man Jesus that was speaking? Or was that the God that dwelt in the man that was speaking? You see, I really believe the problem that they had was that God can only be expressed by one thing, the declaration of the Son, the Word. So when they came to Jesus, there was two beings there. There was Hijo, the Son, and there was God that dwelleth in the Son. And they didn't know who was talking. So when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Who was talking? The Son? Well, that'd be cannibalism. But it was the Father. It was the Father. And he is the Word. Now, we find also in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. 1 John 4, excuse me, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So he's telling you, here's how you discern. He won't hear the Word. He won't come to the Word. He won't hear the Word. He will hear the Word. He doesn't care about personalities. He wants the Word. Who makes the personality? Well, who does? Do you make your own? God makes yours. Sometimes he makes you just rough and tumble, sharp enough that it keeps people that are looking for this, keeps them away. Sure. Because this is where it comes down to. Either you've got it or you don't have it. Either you receive the Word or you don't receive the Word. You don't look at anything else. Look, if we wanted to look at Brother Branham, let's take away this. Probably can't see it. Take that away. What have you got? You've got Kentucky. You got a man. You got a man that was uneducated, born of a drunken pappy, very bad upbringing. At the age of 3, bringing water to the fields. And he say, ain't never going to mount a hill of beans. What good thing ever came out of Nazareth? Huh? You know what they said about Jesus? Born of a prostitute mother, little whore. Isn't that what they said? Sure they did. Ah, he's just bastard born. Hey, look at this. But brother, sister, he was the incarnate God. God identified the seed in William Branham. God himself came down. That man spoke against everything the Trinitarian churches stood for and the oneness churches stood for. He blasted their doctrine. And so every city he went into, they tried to boycott his meetings. They worked amongst the association of the ministerial association and said, anybody goes, you're out. Oh, I had a big name minister talk to me the other day. He asked me if I would take off the end time error off the internet. He said that's putting the it's showing the laundry in the front yard. I said, it is. I said, I'll review it. I reviewed it and I put a few more things in there. A big article from the Dayton Daily News. It calls the feminine God. Big article. I'm going to try to get a hold of an article Brother Vail brought up last night. It was written in the National Examiner. The author was Bob Kane. And he's talking about Cardinal Francis George. Said he's very headstrong. He's very intellectual. But since Cardinal Law has been very sick, Cardinal George has popped up to the forefront and is actually being considered as the top choice for Pope right now. He's from Chicago. And what's very interesting is that he refers to God as her and has no problem with it. So when I get a hold of that article, that'll go in there too. How these brothers, so-called brothers, it's okay for them to go around the world. Well, they won't say it on tape because they're too wise for that. But they'll have their little ministerial meetings and they'll blackball Brother Vail and anybody who's associated with him. And so then you expose what their heretical teaching is, and you show that in the first church age it was the same error that they went off by, trying to make God female. Bunch of nonsense. And they say, oh, that's laundry. You shouldn't put that on there. I shouldn't. Then you shouldn't teach it. I'll tell you what. You go out and send out a tape, and you put down, no, you put it in writing what you believe. You put in writing what you believe. You know why you won't? Because the same man, and I know, the same man will go to a church that preaches two souls, talks with the pastor beforehand, and he'll preach two souls to the congregation. Then he'll go to another church that doesn't preach two souls, and he'll preach against two souls. He went to a man's church in Canada, and he preached on the parousia. When the man got back from a trip, and he heard about it, he was very upset, so he comes and preaches against the parousia. Now tell me where he stands. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And yet, because of organization, they got the means to send him around the world all over the place. And because the Bible says that the people would have itching ears. And so the pastor, or the minister, not the pastor, the guy would come along and scratch it. Tell them what they want to hear. Makes you very popular. But when you stand with a vindicated word, you're going to stand with Jesus, William Branham, Paul, Moses, and just a handful. You're not going to stand with the Oral Robertses, the Billy Grahams, all these reprobate men. And they are reprobate concerning the truth. You say, oh boy, isn't Billy Graham a nice man? No, he's not a nice man. When Billy Graham can say to the Pope that he worships the same God he does, and the Pope says that the voodoo man down there in Haiti worships the same God he does, that tells you Billy Graham is worshiping the God of this evil age. And he is, because he's a Trinitarian. And he worships a Trinitarian God. And that's the three unclean frogs, remember? You remember that? Brother Branham said so. Unclean. What makes them unclean? Because it's an unholy spirit. Okay. Anyway. These then are gathered to the Word. These are separated from the Word of their own choosing. Of their own choosing. No one ever asked them to leave the Word. They don't want it. It's not good enough for them. You know what Brother Bram said? He said they're religious, but they don't want God's religion. So they made up their own. Cain made up his own offering. But Abel had a revelation. That's what's different. So these have one thing, and that's revealed word. One thing they hold to.
revealed, vindicated word. And these, their own. Their own opinion.
Didn't Jesus say that he that seeketh his own is not of God, but he that seeketh the will of him that sent him is of God? Something I've got the quote. I got the scripture down here someplace. Okay. Now, therefore, these are gathered to the word, separated from the word. They're gathered by organization. What gathers them? What holds them? Organization. What holds them here? The word. Simply put, the word. These have a temporary life. Eternal life. These have a zeal without knowledge. Travel the world to make a proselyte, make them a twofold more child of hell than they were to begin with. These do nothing. But what the Father shows them. Great zeal, God's got to use a whip to get you go. Temporary life, eternal life. Corruptible word, corruptible seed, incorruptible. Let's look at obedience. Disobedient, because they're children of disobedience.
Obedient.
Many, many scriptures on that. Hate the word. They hate God because they hate the word.
They hate God because God is the word. They love God because God is the word.
Turn to John chapter 17, verse 3. Just a few more minutes, we'll close. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. They understand Godhead. What is eternal life? They understand Godhead. We turn to John chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. He that hath in possession my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. How do you know if you love God? You keep his word. What's one of his words? Keep holy the Sabbath day. People that are not in church on Sundays, it's because they don't love God. Now they can cry and squall all they want to and say, Oh, I love Jesus. No, you don't. You might love another Jesus, the one of your imagination, but you don't love the Word. Because this is not Brian Kusorik up here. This is the Word of God that's going forth. I don't deviate from this truth. I'm a true fivefold ministry. I can't. I can't. Because I can only teach what has already been vindicated. And that's all I do teach. I don't get up here and say, The book of Brian says, no, I tell you what the scripture says.
What William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, tells you. That's what it's saying. It's not my message. It's not. I don't like getting up any more than you would like getting up and exposing unbelief. But it must be exposed. It must be. How can you correct something if you don't tell it the truth? And that's true love. You speak the truth. You don't hold back. Revelation chapter 22. Here's one that's going to be a stinger. Maybe next time everybody will be in church when I'm gone. Maybe not when I get back, but at least when I'm gone. So, anyway. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, you think people that break the Ten Commandments? I mean, just the Ten Commandments. Hey, the Ten Commandments. Everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry calls himself a Christian knows the Ten Commandments. I mean, we're not even talking about holiness. You know, sanctification. Just the Ten Commandments. Blessed are they that keep my commandments, for they shall have a right to enter into the New Jerusalem. In that day they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do this? I worked a lot before you, Lord. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. You see, you don't have a right. You don't have a right. Because you didn't keep my word. Is that legalism? I don't think so. You see, because you can't keep his word. If you're not ordained to. If you're ordained to, you can't help but. There's something that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. You've got to. Well, now we could go into the book of Jude and the book of Peter and get people even more mad at me. But I'll spare you. It's not for you anyway. You're good people. I believe you're God's elect. I really do from my heart. I believe you're His chosen. But I wonder. I very much wonder. And I won't even limit it to this local congregation. We'll just exclude that because it's personal. But I wonder how many people today who claim to believe Brother Branham, who made the great sacrifice, and yet don't believe in a fivefold ministry? Don't believe it's necessary to come together? Even much more so as the days approach. Who believe that this spring could be the going home, or next spring, very soon could be, and yet build $1 million churches, $6 million, $8 million organizations to publish the word? And I see ministers that hardly got shoes to wear on their feet. By God's grace, I can say the same thing the prophet did, because I've been there. And I'm going to Philippines, it's going to be worse. They've got it all, and you can't have it unless you come through them. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Not for 1 minute. One of them wrote an email to, or they said on the internet in one of those chat rooms that the boys in Jeffersonville were gonna go up there and they're gonna stop that Lee Vale.
put them out of business. How are they going to do it? Shoot them? What kind of a spirit is that? I'm not out there trying to stop anybody. Let them manifest. Let them manifest. Let them gather who they want. But all I will do is declare the truth. Because the truth will make you free. It'll set you free. You see, brother, sister, twins is a pretty touchy subject. I think if the truth be known, when you get into twins and you start getting into the real definitive article of twins, that may cause more separation than Godhead did. And Godhead caused a lot more separation than presence did. Because a lot of people preached presence but didn't know who came. Then when you start saying that there is one God and He had a Son and the Father is not the Son, oof, that's separated off just like chaff from wheat. And then when you start declaring the attributes of the elect, and they don't include themselves in that because they don't see it, will probably be hauled off for hate crimes. Yeah. They'll never get to it though. We'll be gone before that. But that's what it comes down to. And do I hate those people? Absolutely not. I really feel compassion. I really feel sorry that a little money means more. Or a little I love Susie on a Wednesday night means more. Because if that's what people are feeding on, Brother Ram said that kept people out of church. I think I Love Susie was the most popular, back in the 60s, was the most popular television show, and they put it on Wednesday night. Why did they put it on Wednesday night? Keep people out of church. That's the devil's motive. It's always been that way. Why do they play professional sports on Sunday? Keep people out of church. There's no other motive. Saturday is just as good as any day. Keep people out of church. What's our